Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 23, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter September 23, 2020. Nature, the creator, wishes to show us that until we learn to treat each other right, we must be practically isolated from one another. And it doesn't matter whether we're attending a prayer or a protest. Our good attitude will lift the quarantine. Today we will try to start building a partsoof, to create out of our individual ego something common, to mold a soul. We need only to soak clay in water, Hasidim, then everything will unite into one body of the ten sephirot, and from it we'll be able to make common actions for the sake of the Creator. A teacher teaches how to think, not what to think. He teaches how to be independent from others and from oneself, pointing only toward the goal, the Creator's revelation. From Twitter, September 23, 2020. Who is a good mayor? Question. Mayors of several Mexican cities, New York, Europe, and Africa gathered on Zoom to discuss how to restore their cities after the virus, that is, build bike paths, green lawns, parks, work for people, to integrate nature into cities. The fact that mayors of many cities, quite egoistic individuals, are connecting together to seek mutual assistance, is this progress? Answer, on the one hand, they are egoistic individuals, but on the other hand, they are the closest to the people because they are engaged in providing their citizens with normal living conditions. They are the closest and also are responsible for everything. So mayors of cities are not a government that sits and invents some new laws. Question, do you think a good mayor is more concerned about being re-elected or about delivering what he promised to those who elected him? Answer, I believe that for a good mayor it's all the same, to be re-elected, to love your constituents and do everything to benefit them, and try to make sure that everyone who goes to vote would vote for him. Question, do you think that all municipal governments will start working for the benefit of people or will this stop after the tension subsides? Answer, this is a problem because humanity has not yet realized that through people such as city mayors can nature be corrected. Perhaps they should be given more authority. The mayor of a city makes sure that there is water, clean air, kindergartens, and schools. This is the house manager, in short. And this is most vital for us. Question, should mayors of cities be given maximum power, money? Answer, yes. Not to be confused with anything else. He has to make sure that we are comfortable in our home. This job requires the right person. The mayor must be a local overseer. Question, what should the mayor of the future be like in your understanding? Answer, I'm not talking about any mental, psychological, or spiritual criteria. I am saying that all this should be seen in our example, in our life. So that everything is clean, ready, open, provided for different levels of citizens, and so on, that's all. This is what the mayor should do and have this sense. There are people who have this sense. We need just such a person and the appropriate team. Question, and then, if he has such an inclination toward people, he will be given both strength, ability, and power? Answer, sure. He will gain support from below, he will receive support from above. From above means from nature. Question, what would you add to this? Let's say there is such a desire now. What could be added to keep this whole thing going? Answer, a crystal clear understanding of the fact that we exist in an integral world, in complete dependence of humanity on each other and the dependence of all mankind on inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature. Therefore, we must be concerned about all levels and do everything possible to ensure that nature is harmonious and integral at all its levels. Then we would not be terrified that Antarctica suddenly is beginning to melt or something else is happening, some excesses in the Earth's crust, and so on. We would not worry. We would think that all these phenomena may be happening because nature is dynamically balancing itself in this way. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 4, 2020. New Life 1143. Self-image.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadael. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about self-esteem. There are people with a very high self-esteem, and there are people with a very low self-esteem. We'd like to really understand what causes things to go one way or another in order to make our life much, much better. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah. Every person has a certain kind of self-esteem, a certain way in which he sees himself. Different qualities, strengths, weaknesses that he associates with himself. He kind of grades himself about who he is. And according to how he feels about himself, this is how he functions or goes through life. Some say that self-esteem has to do with genes, with a person's inner traits, external influences. Sometimes you have people that have a very high self-esteem, but this isn't how their environment sees them. And there are people that could be very talented and successful and very unique. They don't really see themselves that way. Meaning that many times our self-esteem doesn't necessarily correlate objectively with who we are or with the way that society sees us, our environment sees us. And this is what we'd like to talk about today, about self-esteem. What is a healthy self-esteem? How can we change our self-esteem? And I'd like to open with a definition of what self-esteem is. Self-esteem is defined as a complex of qualities, evaluations, and characterizations that a person attributes to himself and acts accordingly. It develops over time and depends on many factors. I'd like to ask you, as a Kabbalist, how do you see self-esteem? What is that? First of all, it's a person's original estimation that's extremely important. In every person, it's double. That in relation to certain discernments, we can feel ourselves high, and in relation to other discernments, we can feel that we're low. Speaking as a Kabbalist, then whoever's engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah has this kind of duality that in relation to the Creator, of course, who are we compared with the upper force that sustains the entire whole global integral nature, that controls and fulfills everything, and that there is none else besides Him. And opposite to that, there's man who is lower than low, and even less than a mosquito or some bug on the one hand. But on the other hand, when we talk about the opportunity that we have received to rise to the level of the Creator, you understand, then we have a very high self-esteem of, who am I? What am I? He needs me to come closer to Him. He's willing to help me. How do I rise to something like that? Meaning, there's a kind of a split here, coming from two opposite points. One is the bottom of creation, and the other is the complete epitome of creation. And we have to rise from the lowest to the highest level. And in general, when we live this double kind of life in relation to our self-esteem, our own evaluation of ourselves, then we're in this constant combination of the two. What am I in relation to myself, in relation to the environment, in relation to the Creator? And then, accordingly, all the time work with myself. That all in all, it doesn't matter how I feel myself. lower or higher, but I measure myself in relation to a different discernment. What benefits me, what can benefit me in my ascent to a more corrected state? If necessary, then I awaken baseness in myself, lowness, who am I, what am I? If it's necessary, then I actually awaken pride within myself, as it says, be proudful in the ways of the Creator. And the main thing is to ascend accordingly. And so, the self-esteem, then, is in my own hands. This is what is unique about those people that are engaged in spirituality. I determine my self-esteem, no one else. The Creator let me to define, determine who and what I am, what I want to be, how I feel myself in each and every state, and I'm boss over my self-esteem, over myself, my faith, and the whole world in general, the way I see and feel myself in the world. Before we talk about our spiritual evolvement, I want to ask about the feeling that most people have, that really people have a certain relation towards themselves. How important is that? When an ordinary person thinks about himself, and he thinks about himself all the time, actually, then of course, has a hard life that takes up his entire time and attention, and all in all, what does he have from how he sees himself? He has to all the time look at how do others see him, how do they appreciate him, accordingly how does he appreciate himself, because he doesn't have the correct self-evaluation, but only in relation to the environment. He has to measure himself in relation to something. And so I see people in these states, and I see how miserable they really are, how hurt they are, that they're all the time afraid about what will people say, what will they think, and today and tomorrow. And I'm sorry to see people this way. But what can you do? A person's self-esteem, where sometimes he feels that he's very low, and sometimes he feels really confident and good about himself, has the necessary resources in order to deal with life, and sometimes he really doesn't. How does my attitude toward myself help a person in his development? Of course, if a person has high self-esteem, this can give him a lot of strength to ascend, but it can also blind him. And to the contrary, a person whose self-esteem is low, then he doesn't have the strength to advance, but he also won't jump too much and won't do foolish things. This is a problem. We're not teaching people, we're not, more correctly put, educating them how to artificially change, because this is how they are, how to artificially change with the help of exercises, the environment, their self-esteem. And it's a problem. And therefore we have so many people that are depressed, so many people that use antidepressants of different kinds and so on, use drugs. Low self-esteem is not good. Who am I? What am I for? Life is useless. Everything is worthless. How many people commit suicide? And on the other hand, we also have to protect a person, so that on the one hand, his self-esteem won't be too high, because then he'll do lots of foolish things, he'll get into lots of problems and trouble, because he won't see the situation for what it is, and might make big mistakes, not even to mention countries and nations that also have self-esteem, not only particular people, but societies, nations, countries, and so on, they too have a high or low self-esteem. And you have to also give them tools in order to know how to balance themselves so that they will advance correctly in life. Right, I ask you, how would you define a balance, a person's balanced self-esteem? A balanced self-esteem is that, first of all, I know what's the goal, what should I advance toward, and what should I reach? Where am I supposed to develop? Towards what? And then, accordingly, it could be a battlefield, it could be an exam, it could be family life, marriage, work, who knows? It could be anything. I have to be in between these two states and to always see how much I am and how much I'm not, and how can I really get use out of the two states of yes and no, meaning a high and low self-esteem. And in relation to what, is it high and low? That both have to give me the power to advance. That's the main thing. The result of both of the two is the motivating force, inner motivating force. So a person has to be very aware of who he is, about his connection with the environment, and this is supposed to develop a certain... First of all, it comes to advance a person, because animals don't have something like that. They live the moment that they're in. They're either afraid or to the contrary, and so on. They don't have self-esteem in relation to some artificial discernments or abstract discernments, let's say, but in relation to some enemy or just something. But if we're talking about people, it's not called self-esteem for no reason. Esteem also means opinion, judgment. It means that I judge myself, I have an opinion about myself, I have a vision of myself. Animals don't have that. So we envision a certain form, and the measure to which, in relation to this form, I'm lacking or I'm okay. Usually our self-esteem does not fit the, let's call it, objective reality. I want to ask, why isn't there some kind of yardstick in relation to which we can all measure ourselves? But it's something that people always get confused with. It's kind of slippery. You have no idea how to measure it. Every time you imagine something else, but you have no certainty that this is truly your situation. Why is it so elusive? People didn't get the right education, the right upbringing, the foundations. They didn't do exercises about how to shape themselves. Let's put it this way. Self-esteem is all in all the starting point from which I shape myself, my image, in relation to what? To the world, myself, whatever I choose, whatever I need. Therefore, to shape myself, form myself, that's the main thing, and a high or low self-esteem is something that I can play with. It depends on the parameters that I take into account. How do I envision myself in relation to something that I'm higher or lower, or do I need it or don't I? Well, okay, I can't be Einstein. So, okay, maybe I give myself a bit of a hard time about it, but it doesn't really bitter my life, right? Or I can't be a Rothschild. So, okay, somehow I'll get along. I have to learn, and this is something that you have to teach a person. In relation to what image, what form should he equalize himself, come closer to? And so accordingly, he'll measure and will say, yeah, I'm like this or like that. We always have to see this as a means, as a tool, by which a person could change himself, advance, not to beat himself up, so to speak, feel guilt, and, you know. But this is who I am, and to know how to be at peace with it. This is my IQ, suppose, even though that it's not that related, but okay. This is my IQ, these are my traits, I was born with them, this is who I am. And of course, what I was born with, that's sufficient in order for me to correctly realize myself. What is my correct realization? What kind of image is that? How do I advance toward it? Either I appreciate myself about certain things and the things that I'm not content with. I always have to be in between these two. The main thing is that I'm advancing in the best possible way toward the goal. And that's amazing because people don't feel that. Because no one teaches them to. Whereas if sending a person off to life, and the results, we see them. It's a life of permanent frustration, because everything that he has, usually he's discontent with it. He doesn't relate to it the way you just said. Because he compares himself to movie stars, and some machos, or I don't know who and what, and so on, and he doesn't understand and doesn't feel himself. I know who I am, and I'm not going to try and be, I don't know, a boxing champion. I don't think that Oren will become a boxer either. But we know what are we by nature made for. This is what you have to give a person. Let's say it this way. With boys, it's hard enough, but girls, they really suffer because of the different frustrations that I'm not a beauty queen and this and that. Women, they're much more sensitive to the environment. And so it's really a shame that we're not preparing them for the different feedback that they might encounter in life. The question that comes up is, you just explained that a person doesn't know how to correctly understand who he really is and what is he supposed to achieve in life. Now I want to bring in another factor. There's me and the people around me, you suppose. Now, maybe I have a high self-esteem. Maybe I have a low self-esteem. But this is me in relation to myself. This is how I see myself. But besides how I see myself, there's also you, the way you see me. Maybe you appreciate me more than I appreciate myself. Maybe you appreciate me less than I appreciate myself. The gap between my self-esteem and the way others see me causes different confusions in life. First of all, why is there such a gap between how I see myself and how does the environment see me? It's excellent, but why does it exist? In order for us to advance. But it also exists on the levels of the still, the vegetative, and the animate, not only in relation to people. Animals don't have that. They don't have competition and everything. Look at what goes on, especially between the stronger animals. Yeah, there's constant struggle. Exactly. Also between fish. Does it have to do with the gap between how a person sees himself and how the environment sees him? I don't want to talk about animals because it's on the animate level. It's on the instinctive level. And if we're talking about ourselves, why do we have it? We have it in order for a person to see where is his place and how does he have to relate to society in order to advance to the best possible place for him. The best possible in terms of how much do I give society and how much do I receive from society, and accordingly I'm balanced with society. Suppose my self-esteem is 8, and if I ask the people around me, they say, Owen, 8. We think you're a 4. There's a gap between how I see myself and how they see me. Maybe they're looking at me like, huh? Thinks highly of himself. We wonder why. And to the contrary, another person asks him, how do you grade yourself? 3 out of 10. Ask the people around him. 8 out of 10, no problem, he's great. Why? Why is there this gap between how I see myself and how you see me? Why do we have different yardsticks to measure this? In order for you to be dependent on society. In order for you to be very sensitive to society. For you to feel that you're truly dependent on them. That they can play with you, toy with you, get you all worked up and to cool you down according to what they need. And then you will look for a society that has the right goals and you'll be able to become a part of it and you would really like to be their, how to say, servant in order to advance and to be favorable in their eyes, for you to show them that you're really willing to lay yourself out for them completely, as long as you're favorable in their eyes, for them to love you and accept you. And then you give your 100% to society, and society appreciates you 100% according to who you are. And you're not demanded, they don't demand of you what they demand of others. But they know that you are putting yourself out, you're investing in us. And in return, this is the attitude that they give you. So what should be society's correct attitude in relation to a person's self-esteem? What is the role of society in this? To advance a person. But it depends on society. It depends on the kind of society that I choose. It all depends on society. And part of the frustrations that you talked about, they are a result of us choosing the wrong environment, or if I choose the wrong or correct environment, this I don't know. It depends on my education. Here we're talking about my starting point. Okay, could it be that a person has an objective self-esteem about himself? Is there such a thing? That he really sees himself for who he is. The way he really is. Not that today it seems one way, tomorrow another way. Never. Only through society. Never can a person see himself. He doesn't. Completely. It's like if he never looked in the mirror, he doesn't know himself. And if you show him his face in the mirror, he won't know that it's him. It's nice. Interesting. Gives you a clear picture. Meaning, our copy, our projection is society. I have no other way to see myself. I can look at my nose, at my face, but actually, who I am, I can see only through society. So self-esteem, according to what psychology says and so on, it's very influenced by the connections, ties that a person, relationships that a person has with key figures in his life, parents, friends, co-workers, the family. I'm not even talking about kindergarten and school and everything, but I'd say that the family here is the main key. And here we really have to warn parents not to raise or lower the child's self-esteem, because there are many things that, many mistakes that are later irreversible. I see it on my students. In front of me there is sitting 400, 500, 600 students, and I can identify what kind of attitude that they get from their parents, from the environment, in their childhood, meaning the measure to which they were elevated far beyond what they really are, or to the contrary, that they were even suppressed and stayed in them. So, as a parent, how should I know what the point of balance is? Give me some yardstick. It's not that simple. How to teach a child how to correctly relate to himself? As a mother, what should I teach my child in order for him to correctly relate to himself? To give an example, we're already out of time. So, to simply give an example of how do I treat others, and that's it. And don't give a child too high of an appreciation or too low, don't suppress, meaning don't lower his self-confidence and don't add to his self-confidence so that he'll feel like there's an entire army standing behind him or something. Today, you know, it's very common to praise the child and say, you're amazing, you're this, you're that, you're doing these things wonderfully, in order to strengthen a child's confidence. Is this correct? Not at all. It has to be balanced. Otherwise, he'll always expect to succeed in life. And if he won't succeed, then it'll completely bring him down. He won't know how to put himself back on his feet. And he'll also treat others as if they owe him. So we always have to see things in a balanced way. And then the self-esteem, the entire spectrum from high to low and from low to high, has to be in a person's hands. And then we'll see our children happy. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Unfortunately, our time's up, but we have many more questions. So until next time, thank you very much, Yael. Thank you for being with us. All the best.
Where to look for the right solution? Question. Our whole life consists of making decisions about ourselves, family, work, and some global tasks. Many famous people have expressed their thoughts on this matter. For example, the Roman writer Publius Syrus, around 100 BC, wrote, "We must give lengthy deliberation to what has to be decided once and for all, which has been popularized to discuss often, decide once." Mikhail Soltykov Shchedrin wrote, "With open discussion, not only mistakes, but the very absurdities are easily eliminated." And Albert Einstein is attributed with saying, "We cannot solve our problems with the same level of thinking that created them." What does it mean to make a decision? What kind of process is it from your point of view? Answer: it is one thing if there is a solution or even several and I have to accept one of them. And if there is no solution, then a problem arises. I have to find it. Let's say I have several personal options and I am looking for the one that is the most correct, cost-effective, etc. This raises many questions. I need to investigate by which parameters it is better to choose: cost-effectiveness, speed of execution, reliability, and so on. Question: is the right solution always obvious or should it be hidden? Answer: the correct solution always resides on the next degree. A person must rise above himself to the next degree in order to find the correct solution. From CAB TV's Management Skills, June 11, 2020. Who can become a leader today? Question: in the past, a leader was chosen based on how truthful his promises came across, his charisma, courage, determination in decision-making, and only then on how he leads state affairs, how he deals with unemployment, people's incomes, and so on. Business psychologists raised the question, what will happen in the post-coronavirus period? Will our vision of leadership talent mature to be based on concern for people's well-being? What do you think future leaders will be like? Answer: the leader of the future is a person who understands how to bring people together. That is all. nothing else. But we need a small note here: this is not like Mao, Lenin, or Trotsky, who would get up on an armored truck and inspire people. There were such great inspirational personalities. The fact is that you need a person who sets a goal not to defeat someone at another's expense, but to unite absolutely everyone. This is a problem because we are always competing against someone. This cannot happen here. We are all together against our nature, our essence, our beloved egoism. A leader must know the genuine nature of the world, and how we can deal with this nature. Or rather, how not to deal with it. Otherwise, how can he be a leader if he does not understand what he is dealing with? He must fully grasp and feel nature, its altruism, its self-enclosed finite nature, and its value. He should understand that man must come to achieve a complete similarity with nature through unity with each other, what is called adhesion with it, how to achieve this, what kind of forces. His connection with nature should help him in this. Our nature is egoistic, but the environment is altruistic. So, I have to change myself from an egoist to an altruist in connection with other people. So, when we all remake ourselves in this way, we will become like the general nature of the world, altruistic. This is what we must achieve. This is not a high hurdle, this is nature setting this bar for us. It will definitely happen. You will see within a few months how the world will begin to move toward this. The leader will have to offer the world a method of uniting all of humanity. He must strive for this. There can be no other way. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 13, 2020. Repeatability of results, the law of recording spiritual sensations. Question: what are the main laws of recording of spiritual sensations according to the science of Kabbalah? Answer: repeatable results. Just as in any science, the reproduction of a result by a person who is able to check it on himself. Kabbalah, like any science, needs verification. Moreover, it welcomes such checks, tests that are repeated by renowned and respected Kabbalists. They review the research and approve the publication of a relevant book. Later others can also use this book. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 11, 2018.